On is the rebuttable presumption for investment property. In December 2010, IFB amended IS 12 to introduce a rebuttable presumption. The carrying amount of investment property fair value will be recovered from the sale. And if we are planning on implementing IS 12, this is already effective under full IFRS, and a number of entities have adopted it earlier as it simplifies the previous treatment and has reduced subjectivity. So there is some implementation experience ready, already available. So should the question that we'd like your feedback on is, should Section 29 be revised to incorporate a similar rebuttable presumption?
Yes. Given a lot of companies in our jurisdiction adopted this before even the board amended it, I would say definitely. I mean, this is, our experience has been this is how people have been dealing with these anyhow. So
forward.
No discussion.
Well, it really depends how the rebuttable presumption would be written within the standard, because the IFRS interpretation committee had to get a go at it through a rejection notice, very much in the way of how it is applied today relies on the discussions and explanation that have been given around this event. So you would have to ensure that the way it is introduced remains compliant with the basic principle.
I agree with answer B, because if we don't incorporate this presumption, full IFRS will be less complex than the IFRS for Smith in that point.
Is that it?
I thought
if
we could go into it.
Okay, might as well, yeah.
Okay, moving on to issue 9, which starts on about paragraph 94. That's on the amortization period for goodwill for assets. Currently, paragraph 18.20 of the IFRS for SMEs states, if an entity is unable to make a reliable estimate for useful life in intangible assets, the life is presumed to be 10 years. There's a question in the request for information, as we've been told in some cases, although the management of the entity is unable to estimate the life reliably, it's clear that 10 years is too long. We've also been told that the fixed 10-year life causes a problem, as laws covering some jurisdictions requires a different default useful life. We made one suggestion of how we could amend this. In the request for information, where we suggested adding a shorter period than 10 years can be used if it can be justified. But quite a lot of comment letters said that that's unclear, because if you can justify a shorter period, then you can make a reliable estimate. So in Agenda Paper 2, the staff have made a new suggestion for your consideration, and that's, if an entity is unable to make a reliable estimate, the useful life should be determined based on management's best estimate and shall not exceed 10 years. So the question we'd like your feedback on is, do you have any comments on whether or not paragraph 18.20 should be modified?
Bruce?
I still find it confusing. And I'll tell you why, because it says, if an entity is unable to make a reliable estimate of useful life of an intangible asset, assuming I can, then I can do whatever I want anyhow. That's how I'd read the previous one. What I'm saying is I'm not convinced that this clarifies it. I actually found the wording didn't really simplify it for me. I don't know if anyone else found the same.
Any other views?
Yes. I agree with the argument of the page 59. Point 96.A. Say, if an entity is unable to make a reliable estimate of the useful life, that then it seems counterintuitive that it is capable of justifying a shorter life of 10 years. Yes. It is not. not sense.
I think
that's where we made a new suggestion.
Yes.
Yes.
So
I think the new one tries to draw the distinction between a reliable estimate, which is something that is an auditable approach.
I believe the current text is clear and it's easy to apply for SMEs.
The current text.
Yes.
What's in the standard at the moment?
Exactly.
Okay.
Without changes.
The alternative is, once you just say management can't make a reliable estimate, use 10 years. Because I guess my problem is we're now getting into very fine detail between reliable estimate and management's best estimate. And I think that's going to be, that's a complexity. Well, when is something a reliable estimate, management's best estimate? And, you know, we start getting into a very fine line. I can just see the next Q&A we're going to issue is a difference between what do these two things mean. I think it's simple. If you cannot estimate what the useful life has been, just give them a 10 years and leave it at that.
We've got some laws that currently require a similar thing, but then say fix it at 5 years.
Yeah.
Therefore, they'll be inconsistent with the IFRS. The
problem with that is that it assumes then best estimate is 5 years.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
The other side of it. But, I mean, Bruce, are there not circumstances where you're not a heck of a sure, but you know it's not 10 years?
Listen, it's amortization of goodwill. You're never going to be sure anyhow. You know, what I'm saying is this is already a shot in the dark. And the big IFRS and this, I mean, it's always a, you know, we do impairment tests on the big, you know, what I'm saying is this whole concept is a shot in the dark. I mean, interestingly, a lot of comments we had from people was, and some of the SMEs was, why can't we just write this off in year one? You know, a lot of people saying, nobody values this as an asset. So a lot of comments we got was, let's just put it all through P&L because nobody seriously thinks this is an asset in our balance sheet. So what I'm saying is, I think, you know, guys, make a reliable estimate. Call it management's estimate. I don't think there are differences in this case. Make an estimate of the useful life. If you cannot make an estimate, use 10 years.
And I mean, in my mind, certainly the difference between a reliable and a best estimate is a reliable estimate is one that can be verified.
Mm-hmm.
So there's evidence to back up that.
Yeah.
The best estimate is, on the balance of probabilities, that's probably where I'm coming out of. So I think there is a difference between the definitions. We may need to play with the wording to get that difference right. So it just concerns me that if I can't prove my five-year view, so I've got a five-year view, but it's not sufficient to stand up to an audit process. I'm stuck with taking 10 years.
But then we're giving them the low hurdle in management's best estimate. So what I'm saying is, if our lowest hurdle is going to be management's best estimate, then why not reword it to say, use management's best estimate, and if you cannot determine that, 10 years. I'm saying you don't need the line around reliable estimate, because you're saying if you can't get there, you've already given a lower hurdle. So what I'm saying is the second line makes the first one superfluous, because we're saying you've already said, guys, if you can't prove the first one beyond a doubt, we're giving you a lower hurdle you can use. Well, why not just put the lower hurdle? Then it doesn't matter if you're higher or lower. And so if you can't do management's best estimate, go with 10 years.
We'd be happy if the best estimate was something like 30 or 40 years.
If that's what you believe, yes. You know, what I'm saying is, we're already giving them that option. If my best estimate is 30 years, you've already given me the option to use that.
The reason for the two tiers is that if I have reliable evidence that can be audited, then I can go for anything, 100 years.
Hmm.
However, if I don't have reliable, but I do have a best estimate, I have something that I can say, well, look, this is how I've got to, and it's not particularly reliable, then I can use anything up to a maximum of 10 years.
But I'm saying, why cap the second one?
Because the problem is that you know that you're actually setting a different standard for the level of evidence that's
But it's a random, it's an arbitrary. What I'm saying is, it's we're already in a lower level of assurance, and we're kind of already around turning around saying, well, we're going to give it an arbitrary 10 years. You know, what I'm saying is, it just, in my mind, it was simple. Guys, can you estimate what the useful life will be, yes or no? If the answer is no, and that's what we found. A lot of companies turning around saying to us, we have no idea what period to amortize over. Great, we'll give you 10 years. Whether it's right or wrong, hey, if it's shorter than that, impairment will take care of it. If it's longer than that, well, nobody actually seems to care. You know, I mean, I'm being honest. I mean, I don't know. Maybe in different countries, different. In our jurisdiction, nobody cares about goodwill as an asset. Mm-hmm. So I'm saying, if goodwill isn't that important an asset, I think if you change this to amortize over 10 years, I guarantee probably nobody would even complain. You know, I don't think it's that important a thing to have this huge hierarchy of reliance in it, which makes it a lot more difficult. That's just my view.
From my perspective, I'm just concerned that... Sorry.
Yeah, Gary.
When we look at timescales, 10 years is a long term. If there's significant uncertainty about an estimate, I wouldn't want to write it off over the long term. I'd want to write about the short to medium term, because that provides the comfort that I need, you know, in the reporting of the financial statements. So to my mind, I mean, if we are saying we're going to go manage the best estimate because there's no verifiable better estimate, then to me 10 years is inherently the wrong scale, because that in any business planning is long term.
So you would agree with the two-step process, let's say 5 years?
I would say no more than 5 years, 3 to 5 years, if we're working on management's best estimate, because that to me conceptually makes sense, because we're working now in the short to medium term. But 10 years is really saying that we're comfortable. And so you cannot say you're not comfortable and then give them 10 years.
In the context of this, you're comfortable with the two-tier test? The first one is if you've got reliable, the second one, best estimate?
Yes. But then the best estimate to me would be no more than 5 years.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Conceptually.
Henry?
I like the two-tier system, because I do think there should be a premium given to companies that are able to say they have estimated reliably the useful life of their intangible assets.
Mm-hmm.
If they can't, you know, you have to give them another solution. But obviously the user, it signals to the user that the information doesn't have the same quality.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm concerned with is what you're concerned with, is the 10 years, why give the benefit of the doubt? I mean, if you can't reliably estimate, there should be something that prevents the users to rely on financial statements where the management cannot justify why they use 10 years. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's something seems to be missing in this second tier, which is 10 should be a cap, but if you can't, you have to show now it's up to 10.
It does say that. It does say that. It says any period not exceeding 10 years.
Yeah, but if it's, to me, you're giving the benefit of the doubt.
It's not too long.
It's up to 10 years. Maybe in reality, if you did get the reliable evidence, it would prove it's 5. So to me, it's a problem, because you're overstating assets. So.
Yeah.
I think we're missing something, that the 10 years is actually something you're granting flexibility to the management. And the other side is also, I would, you know, in the absence of reliable estimates, I would make it possible to amortize over a shorter period than 10 years. Because goodwill, to me, I do think it's an arbitrary, you know, whether it's 5, 10 or not. Is there, I mean, reverting to the general purpose financial state, is goodwill amortization, does it factor at any point in economic decisions? I'm not sure, frankly. And another, maybe a parochial concern from Europe, is that we have in the directive 5 years. So
yeah.
I know, you know, I do appreciate that jurisdiction constraints sometimes, you know, are worth taking into account in our reasoning.
I mean, you're not inconsistent, though, with what you're saying.
Yeah.
You wouldn't have the same jurisdictional issue, I don't think.
No. I think we're talking about purely on a conceptual basis here.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, 10 years is long term. And you would not have an uncertain issue of significant uncertainty being written off over the long term. It doesn't make sense.
Okay. I want to interject a little bit on the 10-year question. I mean, when you look at full IFRS versus IFRS for SMEs, you're not breaking out as many intangibles in IFRS for SMEs as you do in full IFRS. So if it can't be reliably measured and it's not subject to the pattern of exchange, et cetera, it's being lumped into goodwill, which can include things that may extend past 5 years, such as customer relationships, trade names, brand names, in-process R&D, go down the list of intangible assets. So I do think there could be a case, particularly because it's a lot easier to not break things out of goodwill, which I'm not advocating changing, by the way, that it is at more than a five-year asset.
And I agree 100% with that. I think what makes this a slightly different discussion is that you've already had to get past the first hurdle, which is you don't have the information. And then you're making a best estimate, which we're trying to say, well, how do we control what that best estimate is? But it's a fair point. I mean, there are definitely assets in there that could be longer.
Just reiterating a few of the points. I think I'm not uncomfortable with the wording of the current text in terms of, I think, as it's currently stated. Interestingly enough, from a UK perspective, they've considered they've gone back and looked at and looked at the 5-year model themselves in terms of a default position, and thinking that 10 is quite long. But I think it's, if you're unclear, it's more of a It's more of a lower life would sit comfortably with a lot of people. I do think that if you don't get there, then you've got impairment, but then you've got to look for indicators of impairment, and they're going to maybe too late down the line. So I'd be sort of more inclined to literally change the number to say 5.
And I would guess the one advantage of the shorter period is it places a greater premium on trying to obtain the liability.
I believe the clients that want to go for longer will work their way around, and get there. And because of the intangible issues and splitting out customer lists and all these other areas, in terms of that, you've got to bear in mind in full IFRS, these are going to be amortised and brought down in terms of that, whereas the goodwill and full IFRS business, if you're not going to get these elements, you've got an element that should be amortised over a period that's coming down there. So it's... It's something that I think that just the default position just feels a little long to me.
Okay.
Well, just to say a few words, because you spoke of the difference between IFRS for Swiss and the European directives, and indeed that was identified as a hard difference in the past, but this should not be anymore, because currently discussions in Europe are to relax the 5 year period up until 10 years.
So then there'll be another problem.
Of course, meaningful and technical perspective.
I'd like to find an answer to this question without looking at goodwill, but look at something like license. Now, in a case where there are licenses, the legal agreement is that it's a perpetual license in most of the cases. So in situations like that, when you cap it to 10 years, after 10 years, the balance sheet does not show the license. There can be a company which is there because of the license, for example, a radio company, which would not have their main assets, the core asset, on the balance sheet. So the problem would be, because the standard caps it to 10 years, after 10 years it goes off and you don't have your core asset on your balance sheet. So that means, it comes to, I think, Bruce's argument. If you can reliably estimate, use that without a cap.
Yep.
If not, go back to something which is, with a cap.
And maybe then let me ask the question broadly. I mean, I guess what I'm hearing at the moment is that we support the two-tier argument, the two-tier test, which is that you first look to reliably measure it, and if you reliably measure it, whatever period makes sense, that's the period you would go for.
Mm-hmm.
Failing the ability to reliably measure it, you'd be comfortable with the second test being that you use an estimate, and that estimate... you'd be allowed to use an estimate, but that estimate is capped at some point.
Mm-hmm.
And the only broad issue here is that 10 years might be a bit long for that cap.
Yeah.
Like, Daryl, even if I look at what makes me uncomfortable, thinking about it's probably more than 10 years. I think that's the point that makes me uncomfortable. So we kind of say, if you can't reliably estimate, you still get 10 years. Mm. I think that's the point I'm asking to. I think I'd very much agree with that point. If we can get to more of a 5 years, or a shorter period. Mm. I was even my mind thinking 3. Mm. Somebody says, if you can't estimate this, you're going to be heavily penalised in terms of doing it shorter. I'd probably be a lot more comfortable. But I just didn't feel at the moment, with 10 years, that there's much difference between those two.
Okay. Which means very much the wording I think you've got. We might want to tweak something, but I think that's where the wording largely gets us.
So the revised wording, rather than the old wording, but just changing 10 to 5, you prefer the new wording that
we've proposed. That would be more comfortable.
For 3.
Yes, 3. That level 5 for the year.
Yeah, but 5 is reasonable. Broad acceptance.
Yeah. Still, I would like to question the difference that you seem to have made between a reliable estimate and management-based estimate. Because if management-based estimate is something like a feeling, that just cannot be documented in any way, I don't think it should be reflected in the accounting.
Which raises an interesting question. So we've got two tiers we've already put in place. We said the first tier is reliable estimate. The next one is best estimate. Best estimate would presumably be whatever information you have available to arrive at that point, even if that information is. The problem is, what do you do is if you say you've got no ability to estimate whatsoever? Do you write it all off on the date of purchase? Because the problem is that doesn't feel like a great answer either. Particularly because in your case it might be a license that might be there for 100 years. But because you can't reliably estimate and you can't best estimate. So I think the problem is that we end up saying that because we've recognized goodwill, we've got a goodwill impairment test that would write it off if you can't estimate it, you keep it on your balance sheet until you, or you keep it over a five-year period, amortize it over a five-year period and impair it if information comes to your attention. I think it's quite hard to imagine a circumstance, though, where we pay for an asset but have absolutely no estimate how much benefit you expect to get out of that asset. So you're hopefully talking about a fairly rare circumstance. But I have a feeling that this issue might come up at the board table.
As a very quick aside, I mean, the actual research evidence does suggest that actually there's this thing we call the winner's curse, actually, which says that in reality what we call goodwill is actually overpayment in many situations, which actually in the end does turn out bad. And with evidence on acquisitions does suggest that a significant proportion of what we call goodwill is actually badwill. Because it's actually
Patrick now is officially going to buy you a beer tonight. Agreed. And at the end of the day, it comes back to the point of whether you write off on day one.
Yeah. Goodwill. So the short term is better, actually.
The shorter term. It probably supports the view of the shorter term.
Just to follow up, I'm sorry to insist on this, but I think in IS 37 we still have a reference to best estimate. And I don't like this idea that somewhere in the IFRS literature it would be written that best estimate is a lack of reliability. So maybe my suggestion is just use some other words.
Okay.
Best estimate.
I think we can definitely have a look at the words.
Do you have any suggestions?
I can.
I think we've got a couple in the insurance project. Okay. Any other comments? I think we will then call it a day, because I don't think there's time to fill anything else.
We're
going to
have a closed session.
Yeah, so we're going to have a closed session after this. I'm going to turn off here. We start again tomorrow morning at 5 o'clock with topic 10. We'll just take a few minutes, though, I'm going to turn off here, and then we'll take a few minutes just to turn off everything.
You say we're starting?
Okay.